Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're looking at a subject that really connects with Native American wisdom historically. It's perhaps being looked at, though, today on our program from a unique perspective. We're speaking about a subject that Native Americans had mastered for decades, for centuries. It's the whole aspect of surviving when things are difficult. And today we'll be looking at that perspective from a 21st century aspect. Daryl Stevenette is with me today. Daryl, it's great to have you with us today.
Doctor, thank you for having me on your program.
Now, Daryl, you've got a fascinating background. You've been someone who's lived close to the outdoors. You've got close ties growing up with First Nation peoples. Tell us just a little bit about your background before we launch into today's topic.
Well, I grew up in a large family. I'm second oldest of nine children, and I grew up on a farm that my great-grandfather homesteaded in 1900, and we had a wonderful childhood growing up, and it was in Alberta, Canada, and ever since I was a young boy, I just loved the outdoors and loved to hike and loved to camp. I was obsessed with having a backpack, I always, you know, and a pup tent, and I always set it up in the front yard and took little excursions, And I've always loved the outdoors.
One of the things that's interesting to me about your background, Daryl, is at a very young age, you had a lot of close associations with First Nation peoples there in Canada.
Yeah, our church that we were members of had a program where during the school year, Native American kids would come and live with us. And over the course of about 6 years, we had four children live with us. About sixth grade to eighth grade, I had Christy LaFrance, who was my age. We played hockey together up in Canada, a big sport up there. And we had horses on the farm and rode horses together. We had Yvonne Buffalo, Rennie Logan, and Elvis Bear. So four children that were from the Alberta area that became just like my own brothers and sisters, you know.
So to me, it's kind of a fascinating background, although you're not from a Native American background. You've grown up, were raised with a number of Native American children from a couple of different tribes, as you mentioned to me before today's show. And you really had this personal interest in really connecting with the land and really valuing a lot of the things that some of these other kids had grown up with from their Native American heritage.
Well, I remember going up, Yvonne Buffalo took us, she was a Cree Indian, she took us up into the Kootenai Mountains, Kootenai Plains it was called, which is western Alberta, right in the Rockies. And we would find these pavilions, and the pavilions were really interesting, and she explained to me that the 12 posts represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They all went up to a center post, which was Christ, and they called it the Sun Dance, and we always thought it was the S-U-N Dance, and she explained that it was the S-O-N Dance. And these pavilions, they'd only use them once a year, and we found 13 of them, and some of the older ones you can tell where they were decrepit and falling apart. And that's about all she'd tell us because it was a very spiritual thing, and they weren't really allowed to talk much about it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me as we really talk to people throughout Indian country on this show, people who've both been raised on either reservations or in tribal communities or urban Native American kids as they were growing up and even today maybe living in a more urban setting. The fascinating thing is there's so many common denominators across tribal lines, and you know, one of them is this connection with the Creator, connection with nature, stewardship of the earth, if you will. And I think what's fascinating to me about your background, Daryl, is you have this cross-cultural background, and yet you're coming to us today with a little bit different perspective. And I think as you're tuning in, listening to today's edition of American Indian Living, from whatever tribal background you come from, or if you're one of our frequent listeners who's not a Native American, we want to kind of challenge you to look at some of your own cultural traditions, some of your own tribal values when it comes to the whole subject of survival in difficult times. Because Daryl's going to share some things that he's picked up over the years, some practical wisdom, some things that can be of benefit. But others of you are going to say, look it, our tribe knows something even better than what Daryl's sharing. Well, we're not trying to trump any wisdom that you have culturally in your own environment. We're just trying to say, look, this is an important topic, and we really need to be paying attention to it. Daryl, as we just kind of set that framework, this whole idea of survival, I think it's more on people's minds today. We've heard a lot about disasters. There's lots of concerns about terrorism, homeland security. Is this a topic that everyone needs to pay attention to now, or is it something, listen, just forget about it. If there's a problem, things will just fall into place?
You know, there's an old saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. And I'm a big advocate of people taking responsibility for themselves. You know, the government, your church, whoever, you can't rely on anyone but yourself, and you have to be prepared and start thinking along those lines. Okay, if this happened, what would I do? If this happened, what would I do? And that's a lot of this that was common sense for me growing up with Native American brothers and sisters. Just they got by on very little because they knew how to do it.
They
were survivors. I will say that in the greatest sense of the word, and that's a compliment.
Yeah, and this is the incredible thing. So today's show is going to give us a perspective on saying, let's step back and look at some simple things that we should have access to if something were to happen. We're going to look at some general themes. Daryl's going to give us some suggestions in his own experience, some things that may work for you and the environment you're in. If you've got something better in your tribal traditions, if you've got some skills you've developed over the years that have been handed down from your elders, by all means, we're not trying to give some kind of hierarchy, some kind of list, some evaluation of different options. We're just trying to say, this is an important topic. It relates to our health as whole people, our health as communities, our health as families. So, Daryl, you've gone so far as saying, as you've looked at this whole subject of survival and difficult times, you've kind of boiled things down to a few essential things that someone really needs to get by. Can you tell us, first of all, how you came up with that list?
Well, I boiled it down. I always believe less is more. I'm what you call a weekend backpacker. I don't have the luxury because of my busy schedule with my work and what I do for a living. I'm going on week to 2 week long backpack trips, but I do go out on the weekends a lot, and I don't like packing a lot of gear. And one of the things I've realized is a few things that I recommend is down clothing. Down is very lightweight. Like you can go to Costco or Sam's Club and buy a down coat for $30, $40, $50 on the high side, $50, and maybe $30 on the low side. A big I don't know if you remember in the 70s and 80s. I'm 51 years old, so I remember this. Big down, we called them puffy pillow jacket coats, and they were really big in Canada where I grew up, and I own a couple of those, and people talk about a 72-hour kit. I believe you should have a 72-hour coat, and put some things in the pockets. If something happens, you can grab that coat, and you don't have to have a sleeping bag. Just have a warm coat. You can even go as far as having down-filled pants. They're very lightweight. You can just crumple them up and put them in your pocket. If it gets really cold and you find you're outside, even in the desert, like Las Vegas, in the evenings, it does get cold in the desert. So warm is something I think you really need to consider.
So we're looking at some essential things that we want to have if we want to survive in a difficult situation, if the power's out, if there's a natural disaster, if you're lost, you run out of gas out on, maybe you're in a remote reservation area and your car breaks down and you don't have cell reception or you don't have a cell phone with you, whatever the scenario may be. So, Daryl, one of those things you want to do is you want to have a plan for how you're going to keep warm. And what I'm hearing you say is one of the common mistakes that people make is it's warm during the day, and they don't think that they could be out at night when things may get quite a bit cooler.
We're so used to being in our homes at night that we don't realize how cold it gets at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, even in a summer's evening, you know. And you have to think ahead, and what would happen if I was in my car, you know, a down blanket. They weigh nothing. They don't take up any room. Put it in your trunk, just a nice down blanket or a down coat, whatever you feel you can afford.
So wherever someone's got to go to pick something up, I mean, a secondhand store, thrift store, Costco, Walmart, whatever works, if you can get one of those in hand, that's going to help you. What about some of the traditional fabrics, some of the wools that may be used in the Southwest? A lot of our listeners raise sheep. Would this be an option, maybe a heavier material, but would that be something that could serve a purpose nicely?
I think if you're getting something for your car and you've got the room and you can handle something that's a heavier fabric, that would be fine. But I've tried all types of different clothing and that, and I still keep going back to down fabric, you know, like nylon jacket with down insert. The polyester fill, you know, some people like it, but I have a down comforter in my bed. I have down coats and down sleeping bags, and I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to keeping warm, and I've always favored the down. So that's kind of what I tell people to get, because I've had such good luck with it.
Very good. So we've got one essential ingredient for being successful in difficult times. What kind of other things end up on your list?
Well, I've had all kinds of bad experiences with matches. You know, matches can get wet, and, you know, if you need to keep warm, you've got your down coat and pants. But if you need to light a fire, fire is kind of a psychological thing as well. When you have a small fire, there was a saying up in Alberta where I grew up. It said the Indians would have a small fire and they'd get really close to it, and it would last all night because they didn't burn a lot of fuel. The white man would build a big fire and stand way back. And because I think the Native American people are very conservative with the fuel, and they also have confidence that a small fire can keep them warm. You don't need a great big raging fire to give you confidence and to keep warm by. So I believe everyone should have a really good fire starter. And there's fire starters. One I found at ultimatesurvival.com, and they've got videos on how these work. There's one that's an ounce and a half in weight, and you push a button, and the flint comes out, and then when you hold the button down and push down on the flint goes up inside the handle, and it sparks because the button is the steel part that goes down, and it puts out a real hot spark. And with some kindling and tinder, you can start a fire so easily. And if it's wet, it still works. So you don't have to worry about matches going bad. It's a wonderful, and there's a lot of those fire starters out there. You can go to your typical backpacking store or sporting goods store, and you can find them. But ultimatesurvival.com has probably got four or five different fire starters. And they also have a little white cube that you can buy. It's in a little package, and it's a tinder. It's kind of like the size of a sugar cube, and it's kind of a waxy, plasticky substance. And you can shave a little of that off with your knife, and that will burn. They even have a video of it floating down the stream on fire, and you can use it over and over and over. And if it's wet, it actually starts better. There's some really awesome products on the market right now.
So for some, you know, one of the old traditional things that people used to say is easy to come by and is a good fire starter is some cotton balls and petroleum jelly. I don't know if that's one that you've tried, but are there some other simple things that someone may already have in their medicine cabinet that they could use?
Well, I think if you're, you know, packing toilet paper, that always works. But the problem I found with traditional, like newspaper, toilet paper, or even in the cotton balls, sometimes it wears out and it gets old and it doesn't always work. And sometimes you have to use a lot of paper to get a fire going. If you really know what you're doing, that's why I like weekend backpacking, because you always experiment when you go out and you find. The main thing to start a fire, be patient. Don't try to start a big log. Start with small kindling. And one of the things I also recommend is having a good knife. You know, if you've got a little Swiss Army knife, even if it's on your keychain, it's something with a blade where you can start shaving a piece of wood, you know, that you find under a tree that's dry, maybe it's raining or snowing out, and you can just shave off some really fine pieces of kindling, and that will start a fire every time.
We're talking with Daryl Stevenet. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're looking at things that you can do to survive in an emergency, some very practical things. It's great if you're just wanting to take a weekend backpacking trip like Daryl has suggested, but it's also something that could make a big difference if you're in difficulty. We're trying to connect with native wisdom, perhaps from a different perspective today, but we've got a lot more to come. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, also known as NAHI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHI is available at nahicharity.org. The Lifestyle Center of America is another American Indian Living sponsor. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 1-800-596-5480.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people. And for the people, and for the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody, and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about something that is deeply ingrained in the hearts of Native Americans throughout Indian country. It's the whole subject of surviving when things are difficult. And yet, ironically, today many First Nation peoples find themselves in urban environments. They may be far removed from the homeland, from the rural setting where their elders knew how to survive so well. And so today, when we start speaking about power outages and food difficulties or dealing with extremes in climate without modern conveniences, some First Nation peoples really are not connected with that tribal wisdom. We're trying to recapture that in a unique way. We're talking with Daryl Stevenette. Daryl is a survivalist. He's got lots of experience getting by with very little, as he shared with us in the first segment. Some of these things he learned as a young man growing up with Native Americans in Alberta, Canada. Daryl, we've been speaking a lot about the importance of just keeping warm, of having good clothing in an emergency, being able to start a fire. Can you make this practical? I mean, do you have maybe some stories where some of these simple techniques really played out in your own life?
Yeah. Growing up on a farm in Canada, we had a coal-burning furnace, but it still needed power, electricity to create, you know, it had a fan that blew the coal super hot, and then it would heat a big hot water heater, and the hot water, we had copper piping through our home, and we had hot water heating, and it kept our home very toasty. But I remember one winter, it was about 30 below, and our power went out. Wow. And we all had down blankets and down coats, and that's what kept us warm through the night, and it was very, very cold. I remember one winter, it got so cold that with the wind chill, it was about 80 below, if you can believe that. And the cattle were in the fields, and they'd huddle together in a circle, And the only cattle that survived were a few cattle in the middle that were protected from.
Wow.
The rest were so frozen they had to literally chip them apart to get them off the field, and they'd perished. So I'm a real big advocate of keeping warm, what you need to stay warm. And we talked about goose down coats and pants and blankets. Fire starters are better than matches. They're more reliable. Mm-hmm. And these are more mm-hmm. modern things, you know, like the fire starter. And, you know, I've tried rubbing sticks together, and I'll tell you, you will cause blisters in your hands, and it takes too long. I'm all for quicker results and getting things done quickly so you don't perish because you're so cold you can't get a fire going. And we talked
right.
about the Army knife. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple, two or three other things that I really recommend as well.
No, we want to get to that. But I think one of the interesting things, you know, as we speak about flint and some of these other natural compounds, I mean, these were things that I think many Westerners really became introduced to as a result of Native Americans and how effectively they use very simple things to be very successful and do very well.
Yeah, we used to find arrowheads up in our farm, and the Native Americans, they figured flint out years before any of us did. So that's where it originated, and I'm glad you brought that up.
So let's come back then to the subject of other essential things. In addition to keeping warm, having a fire, ability to start that even if it's wet out, what other things are on your list, Daryl, as kind of must-haves in an emergency situation?
Well, I've experimented with all kinds of products when it comes to shelter. You know, shelter is a very important thing. You know, once you're warm, you want to get out of the wind, you want to have shelter and a place where you can rest and get a good night's sleep and not freeze to death. And I've tried various tents, and the problem with tents that I have, especially today, the tents are getting more and more they're more difficult to set up almost because they've got all these bending aluminum poles and in a hurry, they take a while. If you're not experienced at setting it up, it takes a lot longer to set up. So what I found is that I love hammocks. I lived in South America for a few years, and everybody down there sleeps in a hammock. They were originated in Brazil. And a lot of people say, well, you're not comfortable in a hammock. Well, if you sleep on an angle, your spine is actually absolutely level and straight, and you can sleep very, very comfortably in a hammock if you know how to set it up. And I found some hammocks in the market now. So, like I said, there's some really cool products out there that are actually tents. They're tents and a hammock all in one. And they're very, very lightweight, and they don't have any poles. You can be on the side of a mountain. The ground does not have to be level like you'd have to have with a tent. You don't have to move any rocks or boulders out of the way. You just string it between two trees, and you're totally level. And the hammocks that I use are actually tents, so you're covered and you're warm, and you can zip yourself inside like a little cocoon, and they're lightweight. They weigh about 3.5 pounds versus maybe a backpacking tent would be anywhere from 6 to 10 pounds.
Well, this is fascinating. So where would somebody come up with I've never heard of such a hammock that's also a tent.
Yeah, one of the things I like about it, and I'll give you some websites here in just a minute, there's two hammocks that I really recommend. You know, the pad that you have to carry when you're backpacking, you can eliminate.
Right.
You can eliminate your tent. And I can't wait until they come up with a downfill sleeping bag that's actually a hammock and a tent all in one.
Huh.
Sure, that'll happen one day. But one of the hammocks I use was designed and created in Canada on the West Coast. It's called HennesseyHammock.com, H-E-N-N-E-S-S-Y, hammock.com. And you'll find it online. And then there's another one that's designed and built out of Salt Lake City that's really getting popular. I found it in a backpacking magazine. I went down and visited the factory because I live in Salt Lake, and it's called the Jungle Hammock. And it's a really a neat hammock, and I think that's probably going to be my next purchase when it comes to hammocks. The Hennessy hammock has got you enter it from underneath, so it's completely closed. It's got a mosquito net, and then it's got a fly that goes over top of it. And you open this Velcro hole up from underneath. You get inside, you sit down, and when you pull your legs in, the Velcro shuts, and away you go. You're in your little hammock, and it's wonderful.
Huh, that's amazing. So, are these pretty high-end items where someone's got to have quite a bit of cash to get one of these?
Hammocks range anywhere from $30 up to $300 for really, you know, awesome tent hammocks. The hammocks that I buy are right around $100 to $150 on the high end. And that's the hammock and the tent all combined. Now, there's lots of hammocks out there. Like, if you're in the summer and it's warm out, you know, any hammock will work. But my whole point is they're lightweight, and they will give you shelter and rest. And then if you need a place to sit, you can hang it from a branch and just loop it like a U, and you can sit inside it and swing and read a book or whatever you want. Many times I've just gone up into the mountains of Utah and just to get away, and I take a good book, I got my backpack, and I throw a hammock in the back, and I just set it up beside a stream. I read my book, I take a little nap, I doze off, and it's the most wonderful thing to get back into nature, swinging in that hammock and feeling the breeze.
Wow. Well, it sounds like whether we're dealing with a survival situation or whether it's just surviving some of the pressures of everyday life, having a hammock may be a very good investment. Even if you're a guy like me who thinks he's happy sitting on a rock near the stream, sometimes it can be kind of uncomfortable, can it?
Yeah, the thing I like about a hammock, too, it gets you up off the ground. A lot of times the ground is wet. If you've ever slept on the wet ground, even if you're in your tent, you wake up in the morning, you can actually feel your teeth are loose. Have you ever felt that? And it's like there's too much humidity in your body, and this totally eliminates that problem as well.
Sounds like a good option. So we've got some essentials when it comes to simple things that you could throw in a car, you can have with you, you can use it if you're backpacking, but can use it in a jam. We've got our list is including something to keep warm with, particularly in your experience, Daryl. It's natural products, you know, based on feathers, you know, the down. We've got the flint to start a fire. We've got a knife, something that we can make kindling and use for other purposes as well. And then we've got a place to sleep off the ground, and new concept for me, a hammock tent combination. Give me those websites again. Some of our listeners may be like me, they're just hearing about these for the first time, where you can get some of these hammocks.
Yeah, the www.hennesseyhammock.com. Hennessy is H-E-N-N-E-S-S-Y hammock, H-A-M-M-O-C-K.com.
Okay.
And if people will just Google hammocks and keep looking for, you know, put in the word tent, put in the word hammock, you will find some cool products out there. They're out there.
Okay, and the other one you mentioned was Jungle Hammock, huh?
Yeah, the junglehammock.com, JungleHammock.com. And they're made in, like, they don't even have them in stores. They sell strictly online, and most of their market, after talking to the president of the company, is in Europe. And they've got all kinds of testimonials and pictures of the hammock on junglehammock.com.
Very good. Well, some good leads as far as some real practical things. You know, I don't care, though, Daryl, how warm, how dry you are. I mean, that's great in the short term, but you're going to need food and water, aren't you? Isn't that a problem often when we get in these difficult situations?
Well, water is interesting. You know, and I go up in this. I usually, when I do my weekend backpacks, I take four bottles of water, and they're like 16-ounce bottles. And I'm not drinking and guzzling water, but I just, when your mouth gets dry, you just take a little drink and put it back in your pack, and I've got these little side pockets in my backpack. And a lot of times I'll fill my bottle up in the, if I'm high in the mountains and I know the water's pure, I don't worry about, you know, giardia too much. And we'll talk about how to filter water in just a minute as well.
Okay, we're going to talk about some practical things about water and food if you're in a difficult situation. Daryl Stevenett is helping us with some insights on survival, a lot of things that resonate with First Nation values. We've got a lot more to come, practical things that can make a difference in a jam or even if you're just wanting to get away on the next weekend. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. We're talking about something that to some of you, you may be very excited about. You may say, boy, this is a great show. Others of you may be saying, well, you know, we've got a lot better solutions to some of these problems, right, in our own tribe, in our own cultural wisdom. If those kind of thoughts are running through your mind, that's exactly what we're trying to do in today's show. We're just trying to really help you connect with whatever tribal wisdom you have as far as surviving in difficult situations. But many people throughout Indian country and beyond today in the 21st century just don't have those options at their fingertips. They may be so disconnected. They may be from very deep First Nations cultural roots, and yet they've been raised in a city. They're living in an urban area, and to talk about survival without electricity may actually be a strange topic. It may be something that they don't have a lot of options. And as difficult as that may seem, if you're on a rural reservation listening to the show and you have that deep cultural heritage, you say, we know how to take care of these things, Dr. DeRose. Why are you talking with Daryl on today's show? Why don't you just interview us? Well, Daryl is giving us some very interesting insights, I think very practical, especially if you come at this from a setting where you don't feel like you've got a lot of options. You're not really connected with things that have helped your ancestors survive over centuries. So, Daryl, we've been talking about a variety of options, a variety of products that are good to have on hand. And I should mention at this point that what you've been doing is really just kind of acting as a clearinghouse. You don't have any financial interest in any of the things you've been talking about, any of these websites. You're just trying to get information out there to help people do better when times are difficult, right?
Exactly. You know, from backpacking pretty much since I was a young boy, when I was younger, I thought I had to take all this stuff in my backpack, and it got up to where it weighed almost half as much as what I did. I could hardly carry the thing for fear that I would run out. But less is more. You don't need a whole lot to survive. And there's one habit we all have, and that's called eating. We all come from different backgrounds, different religions, but we all have to eat to survive. And I came up with a product that I thought about for a long time that actually is as small as you can get. I call it nanotechnology, which means small, and it will keep you alive in an emergency. And you could put it in the shirt coat of your pocket and survive on this product for many, many days, if not weeks.
Now, Daryl, in fairness, we've been talking so far about things you have no interest in, but now we're talking about something that you've actually developed, and you started a company around this product, right?
Well, how I came up with the idea, 3 years ago, how I came up with the idea of this product, I was watching a news broadcast in Salt Lake City, and seven miners were trapped in a coal mine in southern Utah. And they were trying to drill a 4-inch hole 1,500 feet down to contact these miners, trying to get food to them. And I kept thinking, it took 3 days to drill this hole. You know, 1,500 feet is 5 football fields. That's a long ways down. After trying to drill 3 or 4 holes, they gave up and the miners were never found. But I started thinking about what would happen if they did contact the miners. How are they going to get food down a hole 4 inches wide or a diameter 4 inches? And I kept thinking about what if they had, people had a bottle of pills, like a food pill. You know, you could drop a bottle down if someone was and I started thinking about all the applications a food pill could have. You could throw a bottle of pills across a river. If there's a flood, you could put in the glove box your car. And so this idea of a food pill wouldn't let me rest. And about a few years later, darn if we didn't come up with the right formulator and come up with the right product that actually turned it into a reality where you could take a pill instead of eating food, one pill per meal, and it would give you all the nutrition of food and take away your hunger and actually keeps your mind clear, which is great in an emergency because if you haven't eaten for 2-3 days, you can't think right. You're lethargic. And so we came up with a product, and we called it Life Caps.
So Life Caps, L-I-F-E-C-A-P-S.
Yeah, Caps is short for capsules, of course. And I have experimented many times. When I go on my weekend camping trips, I'll always invite a new friend that maybe doesn't backpack a whole lot and to introduce them to the outdoors in a way that maybe they've never experienced before. And I always tell them, I'll bring the food. And I pick Life Caps. And just before we head up the trail, I tell them, look, this is what we're going to live on. It's about 10 in the morning. We're going to come back the next day about 4 or 5. And I said, you're going to be just fine. And if you have any problems with it, we'll go get some bunch of food right now for you, but I have survived on this as many as 17 days at a time without hunger with my doctor's blessing, and the product does work. And I found now that a lot of people are buying it for survival and food storage. It's kind of like food storage for your car. If something happens and you're away from your home, you can't get to maybe your food in your home or your food storage at home, you've got this in the glove box of your car, and it's got a 5-year shelf life.
So, Daryl, as a physician, I'm always trying to, you know, look at products and evaluate things. So in this case, I'm just thinking because I have not actually seen your product. This is not, you know, an infomercial. We're doing a show on survival.
Right.
And so I don't have all the insights that you've got. But I'm assuming that you're mainly focusing on nutrients, vitamins, minerals. But in these small capsules, you're probably not going to get a lot in the way of calories. Is that a safe assumption?
Well, you know, when I first talked to this formulator, a friend of mine, his name is Russ Bianchi, who's a food formulator, and he understands the Krebs cycle and calories and association with the human body. I said, how hard can it be, Russ? You know, the FDA says we need 23 vitamins and minerals. It tells us how much we should have on a daily basis, and we need 2,000 calories. Put it in a pill. He says, Daryl, I can't put 2,000 calories in a pill. I said, okay, and he says, but let me sleep on it. So a few weeks later, he called me, and we discovered, or he discovered, that, you know, people that are extremely obese, maybe they're 800 pounds or more, how do they get them to lose weight? They're not healthy enough to have any operations, so they put them in the hospital and give them an IV of pure nutrition. What he found was, is when your body is getting pure nutrition but no calories, it will turn to its stored body fat and start burning that for energy. And that is the way this product works.
Okay. So basically, you're not supplying the calories. It's actually more of a regimen, if you would, kind of a fasting regimen where you're ensuring people are getting all their vitamins and minerals on a daily basis.
Exactly. There's a little pure cane sugar in it, but that's more of a delivery system to get it into the bloodstream quicker. But I dare say there's less than 3 or 4 or 5 calories per capsule. And I never would have believed it. At first, I thought maybe it was a placebo, and I'd gone 3 days and tried it. I called Russ, and I said, wow, I really am not hungry. And I remember my checkup on my 13th day. I went to my doctor, and I was trying to get on a TV show, and I had to go 17 days to get on the show. And you could see that interview on lifecaps.net, and you can see how alert I am. I told the gals that were interviewing me on the show, it's kind of like The View, but it's like Salt Lake City's version of The View. They got 4 gals that were interviewing me, and I said, she said, how's your energy level? I said, well, look at my energy level. I have not eaten a cracker. I have not cheated. I have not, you know, I chewed some sugarless gum to keep my, it was so boring, I had to chew something. And I said, I'm probably 90% energy. I said, but my whole point is not for people to go 17 days, but if they need to go a day, a 2 or 3 days, and they've got to get out of harm's way, and there's not, food is not available because the power went out, and restaurants have shut their doors, and food goes bad because there's no refrigeration, your kids will literally stop crying if they have this product. And we actually flavored it for kids. You can break open a capsule and lick it like a Pixie Sticks, and it tastes, it has a great tropical fruit flavor, and it's actually sweet, and kids don't mind it. And if you give kids something that tastes bad, they might take one pill, but they won't take the second or the third. So we wanted to make sure it was tasty for young children.
So this sounds like a great option if somebody's got, you know, extra calories on board. And it is often the case, you know, in today's culture, whether we're in Indian country or outside of it. I mean, most of us have weight that we can lose, and it won't hurt us to fast for 17 days as long as we're getting our essential vitamins and minerals. But, of course, if someone is in an extremely cold environment, even with the down clothing, if they're very thin, then they may get into some problems, especially in a prolonged situation where they're going to need some wisdom, either to take advantage of food sources that are available in the environment, maybe through cultural tribal wisdom, for example, or just having some other options as far as the calories.
One of the other options I would recommend is almonds. You know, almonds is a good source of protein, and they're pretty lightweight, and you can buy them in bulk. And almonds are great. And if you can afford power bars, you know, some are good, some are not. Russ Bianchi for formulated Life Caps. Out of the 25 top-selling power bars, he's formulated 21 of them. So he knows power bars.
Wow.
He's actually working on a power bar, and it's going to be called Life Cubes. And it's going to be like a 2-inch bar, like a bite size. It's going to have a lot of protein and more calories in it.
Very good. So you got a lot of stuff coming out, and the website is lifecaps.net. Have I got that right?
Yeah, L-I-F-E, life, C-A-P-S, caps.net.
You know, I'll just share it with you an aside, and I know in Indian country this is something that gets a lot of attention. It's the whole subject of diabetes. You might be interested in this, Daryl. Over the years, I've worked in facilities where we've worked with fasting, using that as something that is very valuable in treating type 2 diabetes. A lot of people are shocked to hear that. We did that in Oklahoma. I worked at a facility there, actually helped start a facility called Lifestyle Center of America. And now I'm working with a group out in California called WEMAR, the New START program. And one of the things that that we sometimes do in patients is we have them go on a supervised fast. I'm just learning about Life Caps today from you, and I'm saying, you know, one of the things I get concerned about if someone is on a fast for a number of days is making sure we address their vitamin and mineral status. We don't recommend people just go on a fast without a doctor's supervision, especially if they have diabetes or high blood pressure. But this is an option that I'm interested in as far as that patient population.
You know, one of the things we did with Life Caps, if you took a vitamin over the counter vitamin and took it without food, you will probably get heartburn. It'll really be uncomfortable. Life Caps was designed to be taken on an empty stomach, and in 17 days I did not get any heartburn. Sometimes when ketosis kicks in, which is the burning of body fat, you'll feel a little heartburn, but you drink some water and it goes away. But it's really not because of the product. I've done a lot of research on diabetics, and our product is has a free diabetic exchange. It's and as far as acidity goes, it's not acidic and it's not alkaline. It's neutral. And so there's a lot of benefits to it, and we've used some really good products in that in our Life Caps product that is as natural as we can get. And it does cost a little more to create a product like that, but you feel good. I've taken the product now going on 2.5 years, and I've not been sick in 2.5 years. I'm afraid not to take it. I take 3 a day. And we're getting a lot of people that are buying it on a regular basis because we find that they're taking it, you know, as a daily supplement because they feel better on it. So I know our food today is dumbed down, and it's not as good as we used to get in the old days when we used to buy our food from the stand and not have to rely on, you know, fertilized vegetables that we buy at the store and it's a lot better.
Fair enough.
Back in the
Daryl, we got to slip away. Excuse me to interrupt, but we're going to be coming back with Daryl. We're going to get back to the theme of survival. Got a lot of interesting things we've been talking about, but there's more to come. There's some things that really close out this topic. Water supply, first aid kits, all things that are important. Don't miss our final segment. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by the Lifestyle Center of America. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center and used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 800-596-5480. American Indian Living is also sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, known as NAHAI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHAI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHAI is available at nahaicharity.org.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want them.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. We're speaking about surviving in difficult times. It's something that may come across as a strange topic in Indian country because Native Americans have done so well in this regard. But in the 21st century, it seems that many First Nation peoples have often lost touch with some of the cultural wisdom of their ancestors. We're just really trying to get you to focus back on those things that you already know. Maybe you've got better options than those that Daryl has been sharing, but I think there's been a lot of wisdom in the options that Daryl Stevenette has been giving us as far as things that we really need when times get tough. Daryl, one of the things we talked about prior to a previous break and we never came back to is the whole subject of water. You mentioned, you know, roughing it out. In the backcountry, you can often find fairly pristine water sources, haven't had a problem in spite of some of the concerns we have today, especially if someone has problems with their immune system and maybe the microscopic germ Cryptosporidia, or you mentioned Giardia. But how about someone who's not living anywhere near pristine water sources? If the power goes out or if the water supply is contaminated, do you have any strategies that someone can use?
Well, you know, I've tried halazone tablets and chemicals and, you know, a few drops of bleach and water, but I think you're harming yourself. The taste is so bad, it's hard to even stomach that. Water filters are great, but in this day and age, to buy a case of bottled water for a few dollars, and some people say, well, the water leaches chemicals from the plastic. Well, that might be true, but I'm telling you, a case of water in your trunk of your car for a couple, $3 will come in real handy because, you know, if you're dehydrated, you get lethargic and weak. And the old story is you can live 3 weeks without food, but you can only go a few days without water. And you've got to think ahead about having some water. Now, we had a couple in Utah that were up taking pictures of some horses. They got stranded for 13 days because of a snowstorm. Wow. They're up in a back road, and they had some fire. They melted snow, and you had that for water. And they were eating dog food, and they were getting low on the dog food, and they had their dog with them. And I finally interviewed them when they got back, and they had frostbite so bad that they actually had to have some toes taken off. It was really, really sad.
Wow.
But they weren't prepared at all. That snowstorm came up, and, you know, there again, you can melt snow for water, but I think common sense in this day and age, bottled water is so darn cheap. Just buy a couple cases and have one in your house, have one in your car. Just think ahead. That's my best advice.
No, I mean, I think it's a great strategy, and I think your point is very well taken. I mean, sure, if someone's concerned about having exposure to some of these chemicals today, the plasticizers, I think those concerns are warranted, but we're not talking about you drinking that water every single day, day in and day out. We're simply saying have some water supplies handy. Keep some jugs that you either, if you got great water in your house, in the community, go ahead. Fill up some big jugs, whatever, keep them in the home, keep something in your car. I think that's really very practical wisdom, Daryl. And if someone's got some extra reserves financially and they want to buy one of these filters, I mean, are they pretty reasonable, some of these high-efficiency filters that are supposed to get everything out of the water?
Yeah, there's a Katadyn filter you can get at most of your sporting goods shops, and they range around $50, $60. But you can buy these bottles that actually have a carbon filter in them. And you pour the water on the top, and it filters out and gravity-fed. And very, very simple. It's kind of like a water bottle with a filter all in one. And I really, you know, experiment. You know, you just keep it on your mind and go out and try some things. There's a product that I came across when I was in New Orleans, or excuse me, Galveston Island, four weeks after Hurricane Ike hit. And there's a company down there that had a bladder that fit in your bathtub, and you just fill it. You hurricanes coming or tough times are coming, you just fill it up in the bathroom, and you put the lid on it, and it stays in your bathtub, and it's a rubber bladder, kind of like a little water bed in your bathtub, and you fill up with water, and your bathroom is one of the safest places that, you know, because there's so many pipes in the walls and everything else, in case of a hurricane or typhoon or whatever. But I thought that was a really good idea. You know, if you're going to be in your home a lot.
Well, that's a great idea. I mean, if you just left it standing in the bathtub, I suppose things could get in it or might not stay as clean as having that that bladder. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a little pump that it comes with. And next time I talk to you, I'll find mine. It's in my closet somewhere. I've got one. And I was just thinking about that when you were talking about, you know, what are some options. And that is a great option.
Uh-huh. Very good, very good. Now, you and I off-air spoke about another thing that's on everyone's survival list. It's some type of first aid kit. Is that, I mean, from the perspective of First Nation wisdom, I mean, my listeners are going to say, well, hey, we've done very well for centuries. We didn't have any kind of a first aid kit, but there's still some things that traditional Native wisdom would endorse that are in first aid kits. How do you see kind of that intersection of cultural values, if you will?
You know, my grandmother grew up in Western Alberta on our farm, and when she was a little girl, the Indians used to come around, and they would always ask for bread, and, you know, they're on horseback. This is back in 1910 area. Mm-hmm. And she had burned herself in the stove, and she was a young girl, and one of these Native Americans went away and came back with this salve, and I don't know how they made it, but she said it cleared her burn up in about a day and a half, 2 days. And I think in the modern day, when it comes to a first aid kit, you know, I had a little jackknife once fold up on my finger and cut my finger very, very badly. You know, I was trying to push it into, I was trying to cut a garden hose or something. I was trying to push it in the garden hose. The blade was not locked, did not have a lock on it, and it folded up on my hand. And little things like that is why you need Band-Aids. You don't need a big, full-blown first aid kit. Something small in your pocket, like in your downfield coat that we talked about earlier, just a Band-Aid, some gauze. You can buy these first aid kits really reasonable, anywhere from $5 on up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So basically the idea is to have some things on hand, whether they're natural things, whether you know how to get them, if it's a season of the year where you know you can quickly make a salve because you have that tribal wisdom, or if you don't, and if you're living in an urban area, have something around, maybe a cream for a burn or some type of antibiotic, something, some kind of cleaning agent, especially if you're without water and have some sanitation problems. Great ideas. So you've been giving us a lot of practical things. I think it's time, really, Daryl, to recap, because not everyone's been with us for the whole hour show. Give us just the high points of the things that we all should plan to have access to, just to be prepared.
Well, you know, when in urban survival, if the power goes out, power is everything. We take it for granted. If your power goes out, you have no lights, you have no heat, and you have no refrigeration. Food's going to go bad. You got to keep warm, number one. Number two, don't rely on matches. Get some type of fire starter that no matter what happens, if it's wet, dry, you can light some type of a fire to keep warm. Number three, you know, a place to have shelter. If you're not into tents, I recommend a hammock because they're lightweight. You can put them anywhere. They're 2.5-3 pounds. Put them in your pocket. They're made out of nylon. There's no poles. There's no tent pegs. There's no ground cover. They keep you off the ground. They keep you high and dry. So it's a good hammock, and there's a lot of hammocks out there that are actually tents and hammocks all in one. Swiss Army knife. There's all kinds of Swiss Army knives, just some type of knife. This older lady who was a survivalist from California named Lois McCoy said that her father always said, you can tell the type of a man by the type of knife that he puts in his pocket. A man should always have some type of knife in his pocket, you know, if you have to undo a screw or popple for, you know, whatever you need it for, to cut a shoelace, have a knife in your pocket, have one in your key ring. And then we talked about, nano food that you could have in your pocket. Life Caps is a product that I'm affiliated with, and it's, you can check it out, lifecaps.net. And it's basically a survival pill. You can take it, takes away hunger, and gives you nutrition at the same time. And then we talked about the first aid kit. It doesn't have to be elaborate, just something that will stop bleeding if it happens. And another thing, too, that I want to bring up, burns. If somebody gets burned, there's a product out there called Burn Free. I think it's from New Zealand. Burn Free. And it cools down the burn within seconds and stops it from continuing. Usually when you get burned, it keeps burning after the fact. There's more damage. This cools it immediately, and they're actually using it in burn centers now. It's a phenomenal product.
So is it something that one of these chemical reactions that, you know, in a bag, or what kind of product is it?
It's a kind of a light, a creamy liquid.
And oh, wow.
It cools on the burn, and it cools it immediately.
So Burn Free.
Uh-huh.
Great. Daryl, I mean, you've shared with us a lot of practical insights on survival. Those of you who've been tuning in today, maybe you say, wow, this is just the kind of stuff I need. I need to get more of this. Each station that carries American Indian Living, we send them information about some of the sources where you can get more information. Feel free to contact any of the fine stations on either the Life Talk Radio Network or Native Voice One that carry American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We hope today has really helped you recapture some of that tribal wisdom that your ancestors have had for centuries. If you're not a Native American, hopefully you too are focusing on some things that can make a real difference as far as your survival in difficult times. For all of us, I'm Dr. David DeRose.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the Public Radio Satellite System by American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.